Welcome back to Cairo Nights. On the line right now is my very good friend and a man that I love to hate, Mr. Billy Sunshine, a man who has been fired from every radio station he has ever worked for, a man who is loved by some and yet hated by all. How are you, Mr. Billy Sunshine?
Turn that music up. I want to hear that music.
No.
No?
You don't get what you want here.
How many of your callers actually have their own theme song?
Well, Billy, I'm not sure. You're the only person. I mean, I guess it's kind of like, what's another song with a name in it?
Like, Hey Jude? There's one.
Jude, yeah. Hey, Janie's Got a Gun. I mean, if we worked with someone whose name was Janie, we'd play that like crazy. I mean, that'd make a great meme. But, Billy Sunshine, how are you doing this evening before we get into the fun game that we're about to play, which is liberal or not liberal enough?
Ooh, a game. I love games.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you have in mind for tonight, kiddo?
Well, I was just asking you how you're doing, but apparently your diabetes medication has kicked in and you're not listening.
I don't share that information. It's private. You need to be in the CIA to know.
All right. Mr. Sunshine, basically the game works like this. I have amassed a series of clips from some of the most liberal, most progressive, most degenerate people on the planet. We're talking Whoopi Goldberg. We're talking Chuck Schumer. We're talking Joy Reid. Some of the worst human beings ever to grace the silver screen, Mr. Sunshine. We are going to play the clip, and I want you to, we're going to do a little bit of a setup, play the clip, and then you determine if that's too liberal or not liberal enough, because you are the liberal menace. You live in a million-dollar coastal home. You are the definition of a coastal elite who just sits on bags of money and complains about Republicans.
That pretty much gets it, yeah. I'm happy with that description.
Okay, so to begin with, Mr. Sunshine, on Monday, Whoopi Goldberg discovered that the 1% tax that AOC and Bernie Sanders has been throwing out there actually applies to her, and she said, this is outrageous. Here's what that sounded like on Monday.
You know what freaked me out about this? I've been trying to figure out, because they say the 1%, the top 1%. Do you know how much the top 1% is considered? People who make about $421,000 a year make you part of the 1%.
Yeah, this is the 0.0001%.
It is. Well, and for me, this is outrageous, you know, because listen, in America, you're supposed to be able to come and turn yourself into everything.
I think that what gets people ticked off is the fact that Bezos and that level do not pay taxes.
Well,
that is the outrage. And
they should get on board to fix the code then, because the problem is that it's legal right now.
And then they bicker and they fight about this, and they just, you know, your life literally is drained away from you listening to the rest of them just go back and forth. So, Billy, that's kind of a conservative talking point right there from Whoopi Goldberg. She says, this is America. You're supposed to be able to come in and amass a tremendous amount of wealth, as you have, Mr. Sunshine. Taxing people, taxing the 1%, that's $421,000. That would be you in the 1%. What have you to say that, Mr. Sunshine?
Let's do it. Clearly, the you know, when I do look at Bezos and that kind of thing, those guys should not have been allowed to amass that kind of money. We don't tax properly, have not since the great Ronald Reagan removed the taxes so far low that we went from CEOs making 40 times what the average worker made,
okay,
to now they make around 400 times. Because we don't tax it away, they decided to steal it from their workers.
So, Billy, I'm going to refute that, because Amazon has a wonderful package for their employees. They offer potentially tuition. It's something like $20 an hour. First 2 years of community college free, and then they pay for your books as well. Other companies are adopting this because they have so much money, because they are so profitable, they can afford to give it away. Jeff Bezos, as a matter of fact, Billy Sunshine, just gave away $1 billion to the Bezos Environmental Fund.
What a cheap son of a gun.
Why do you say that? That's an amazing amount of money, Billy.
How many of those billions does he have?
Enough to give away.
One of them.
Enough to give away one of them, Billy. And this isn't, I mean, look at what Microsoft, Bill Gates, has done with his money, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. People who make a tremendous amount of money love to give it away, Billy. You yourself are a great example of this.
Some of them. You found two liberals who give away their money.
I found the two richest guys on the planet.
A conservative who does the same. Tell me about the Sackler family. Well, they gave out money. Of course, they addicted the world to the poison they sold.
Okay.
But, you know, they did give a little money here and there. I do prefer that we tax much more aggressively people at the top and not depend on their charity.
Okay, Billy, how much, and we'll round it out with this, how much do you think a wealthy person such as yourself should be taxed?
Well, since I no longer have an income, you can tax it a lot. I just have a small pile of money that I live on.
A small pile.
My wife made for me.
Yeah, how much should someone like Bezos or Gates be taxed, in your humble opinion?
I don't think there should be anybody walking around with more than $2 billion.
Wow.
I think we should have taxed it away before it got as big as it got.
Shane Peterson, what have you to say about this?
I kind of somewhat agree with you, Billy Sunshine, in reality.
Guys.
I mean, well, here's the thing, Jack. It is kind of a confusing thing because I want to see some actual change. And the fact that, you know, out of the goodness of his heart, Jeffrey Bezos, because he was stoned and got inspired by flying up in a rocket, makes him, you know, like, I don't, just the fact that he had to have that experience to go, oh, you know what I should maybe do? Care about the planet, because obviously I can do something about it. But also at the same time, I do also really like the idea of having a free market and having people be able to push and work harder to get farther than other people, because at the end of the day, usually that's the deciding factor between what really makes a millionaire or a billionaire.
A little tax does not prevent people from, you know, wanting to work hard and create wonderful things.
It does take away some incentive, though, when people go and work all day, and then at the end of the day, after they've, you know, been doing grunt work, that they get so much taken away that they usually never get seen back into their community.
You're talking about the taxing of the little man, and there's where I agree. You should be paid much less taxes, and Jeff Bezos should be paying those taxes for you.
Fair.
We shouldn't be taxing the little guy. We should be taxing the rich guy.
Billy, they already pay that in sales tax. But we have a couple more clips that we have to get to. Joy Reid, Billy, I know that one of your favorites.
Sweet Joy.
Do you ever miss an episode of Joy Reid? Billy Sunshine?
I try not to.
So she came out and she perpetuated the lie on Tuesday. Billy, we covered the story yesterday, you and I, that the Border Patrol agents down in Del Rio were using whips on the Haitian immigrants, and they were whipping
them. Using their reins to keep the people from grabbing them.
Okay,
them. Yes.
But Joy Reid decided to twist the narrative as best she could, and here's what that sounded like yesterday.
Okay, I want to show you some unbelievable images shot near Del Rio, Texas. This video from over the weekend shows a horse patrol for U.S. Customs and Border Protection trying to corral human beings like cattle, chasing after Haitian migrants trying to cross back into the United States. These horrifying images seem far more reminiscent of the Fugitive Slave Acts of the 1790s and 1850 and not 2021. Today, the chief of Border Patrol told reporters that these agents were most likely using a technique to control their horses, but would look into the matter. Wow, okay, thanks. I was not aware that whips, which come from the slavery era, were part of the package that we issue to any sort of law enforcement or government-sanctioned personnel.
So, Billy, that's after she had been corrected that they were reins for horses, because horses need reins, Billy. And she then proceeds to continue to call them whips. Is that too liberal? Has she gone over the line, or is that perfectly fine with you?
Well, I think she's gone over the line. I think calling it too liberal is showing your bias. But, you know, go ahead. Have at it.
Well, this is the issue, Billy, is that people like you and your friends, what they do is they watch that, and then the repetition of the word whips get in their brain, and then when you go to your cocktail parties to talk about Bernie Sanders and to talk about Elizabeth Warren, you say, did you see that awful picture of those white men whipping those Haitian immigrants without realizing?
And yet, the liberal menace refers to them as reins and not whips, so therefore you're your thing has fallen apart.
No, Billy, I think it's actually really quite strong because you can see how language can begin to form the way that people think about something like immigration.
Yes.
Donald Trump was a master at this, Billy, with his fun little pithy sayings about stop the steal and build the wall and
lock her up
and all language.
Lock him up.
Language.
Lock him up.
Language forms the way that we think about things, Billy. And I think it's important to recognize that when Joy Reid engages in the same kind of augmenting of the truth. So, Billy, would you come down on Joy Reid and would you say bad Joy Reid or would you not?
But what I don't understand why you call it liberal, because she's objecting to the way these people are being treated under a Democratic administration.
Right.
So in this case, it seems to me she's being illiberal.
I disagree with that, Billy, because she's talking explicitly about the Border Patrol, and then she goes on to talk about Donald Trump. But we didn't actually have that clip. That's not actually in the audio clip. She goes on to talk about the Trump administration's policies when it comes to border control and Article 42 or something like that.
Your next clip, son.
Shane, you got any thoughts on this?
I kind of agree with Bill with the fact that I don't think that it's necessarily a liberal thing. I think it's just somebody being an idiot.
How dare you guys? How dare you?
We're hanging up on him.
This is two for two. How dare you?
I mean, but the thing is that that's the truth. I can understand where you're coming from, where there's this ultra violent liberal language to it. But the thing is when I listen to that, I also listen to the people on the far right, and they both sound equally as dumb to me. So it sounds like Joy Reid's just an idiot, in my opinion.
I think it has more to do with the mindset of someone who is terminally liberal, which is to constantly try to augment or twist a narrative in order to fit a very particular worldview. She even summoned up the imagery of the slave South. I mean, these are Haitian immigrants who, if for some reason, ended up in South America and then decided to work their way up into the country. Now they're being deported en masse. And yet still, rather than go into that whole debacle as to why Haiti is such a terrible place, she chooses to go for the optics narrative. And that is what is so concerning to me about it, is rather than actually cover the sequence of events that leads to a group of people crossing the river in Del Rio, she chooses to go for the racial element of it, ignoring the fact that those guys were Latino men on those horses, by and large. And they were
Joy
trying
Reid,
to...
of course, is a black woman and is coming from her experience. And I am interested to hear more often from a black person's point of view, because I've heard enough from white men.
There it is. There's that liberalness that I wanted. It only took me 12 minutes to get it out of him.
I always deliver for you, Jack. Come on.
Thank you very much, Billy. And speaking of, Billy, your God King, Chuck Schumer, came out and he was talking about this as well. So for some strange and odd reason, he decided to talk about what happened at the border as well yesterday. Here's what that sounded like from the floor of the House.
Images of Haitian migrants being hit with whips and other forms of physical violence is completely unacceptable. This behavior must be addressed, and we must provide accountability. The images turn your stomach. It must be stopped, this kind of violence. Right now, I'm told there are 4 flights scheduled to deport these asylum seekers back to a country that cannot receive them. Such a decision defies common sense. It also defies common decency and what America is all about. Remember that harbor, that lady in the harbor in the city in which I live. So I urge President Biden and Secretary Mayorkas to immediately put a stop to these expulsions and to end this Title 42 policy at our southern border. That we cannot continue these hateful and xenophobic Trump policies that disregard our refugee laws.
Just juicing it for all that it's worth, Mr. Sun. Just juice. Did you hear Biden in there one time? Did you hear Biden in there one time from Chuck Schumer? I mean, this is the Biden administration.
You know what it made? You know what I was thinking of, because I know I have to respond to it.
Yeah.
I was trying to imagine the right wing response to this, which would be, you know, if we whipped them harder and we whipped them more often, they'd stop coming. And isn't that really what we want?
No, I don't think so, Billy. I think
that would be the typical right wing. If they could tell the truth, what they would say.
No, I watched Ted Cruz today, who is the son of immigrants. I watched him today talk about this very issue, and he talked about
the son of Canadian immigrants,
Cuban. I watched him talk about this very issue and how he was talking about how this is a humanitarian crisis. And again, Billy, had this been under the Trump administration, you would be blowing a liberal gasket. But I find that because it's under the Biden administration, you're like, man, Jack, it's really tough. It's really hard. You know, immigration's really hard. Billy, you were fired from a radio station for saying that Donald Trump was keeping kids in cages, and you referred to the Donald Trump as a Nazi, correct?
Well, who can remember every time I've been fired, why I was fired? Who knows? Who remembers this? Maybe you do. I don't.
Okay, well, to my memory, yes, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So I guess what's interesting is that I find that my liberal friends, outside of my lovely wife, all do the same thing, which is that when a Republican does it, they're all for pouncing all over it and saying, look at how awful this is, and look at how this is the spirit of the party, so on and so forth. But when it happens under a Democrat administration, what do we get from all of our liberal friends?
It's been going on forever. I wish they all are failing us.
I wish that people would be as consistent as I am on these issues, Billy Sunshine. That's all that I want out of this world, is for people to be as consistent as I am on these issues, regardless of my party affiliation. And people fail me, Billy Sunshine. They fail me on a regular basis, including you, Billy Sunshine. You fail me on this issue because you do this shrug and you go, what do you want me to do?
Let me think back for a minute. You weren't on the air on Cairo when Trump was president, were you? So we don't really know.
Right. No, I was on KGTH. Totally different vibe. Did we just lose Sunshine? Oh, no, he's still there.
Oh, yeah, we
still. Am I still here?
Oh, yeah, you're still here, Billy.
Yeah.
I'm not here. Billy, I haven't been here all call.
Billy. Sometimes the phone confuses Billy because he's used to having it on the wall where you have to spin it and call the operator and then hold the little cone to your ear.
That's right. I'm old enough to remember when the phone numbers, as our friend Charles always talks about on the radio, when it was Trinity 5 or Greenhouse 7.
Yeah. 250 years ago. Well, Billy, I'll tell you what. We appreciate you coming on, and we're going to calculate the score on this to see who actually won this little quiz.
Are you done kicking my butt all over the place yet?
Shane Peterson, who won that exchange? Who was the most right out of all three examples?
Why you got to put me in the
spotlight? Well, because this is the rules of the game. I don't make the rules. I just follow them, Shane Peterson.
He has to work with you again tomorrow. That's not fair.
Exactly.
I think that this was a draw. Like, both those two high jumpers in the Olympics, you guys both share the gold medal in my eyes.
It's unacceptable.
This is unacceptable.
Man up.
This is outrageous.
All right, Billy won.
Man up, Shane. You know you agreed with me.
Billy, he just said that you won. He just said that you won the our little back and forth.
Thank you, Shane.
Yeah, you're welcome, man.
This is, everyone, welcome to Shane Peterson's final day on Cairo Nights. Unfortunately,
and
Billy Sunshine's. They'll both be leaving us moving forward. We have no space for them in our lives anymore, and we will be better for cutting them out because we should not have toxic people in our lives. Billy Sunshine, thank you very much for playing along with us tonight. I really do appreciate it.
You're welcome, Shane. Oh, yeah, and you too, Jack.
We will take a really quick break. When we get back, we're going to give you some updates on the Gabby Petito story, as well as a mystery character jumping into the ring in the search for Brian Laundrie. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Freedom's light burning warm. Freedom's light burning warm. Everywhere around the world, they're coming to America. Every time that flag's unfurled, they're coming to
America. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. You know, Shane, I was on YouTube this morning trying to look what everybody was talking about with the Gabby Petito case. And I scroll down to the comments because I want to know what America is really thinking about the Gabby Petito case. And again and again and again in the comments, I see underneath this ABC News post, it says, don't pay attention to this. This is meant to distract you. Again and again and again, people. And I was trying to figure out what these people are talking about. And as I've said many times, all roads lead to anti-vaxxers. I got so far down in the comments, I found out why. Basically, what people are saying is that the Gabby Petito story is being drummed up by the media. This is the conspiracy. This isn't Jack Stein talking. This is the conspiracy. That the Gabby Petito story is being drummed up in the media because of the Biden administration speech from last week where he came out and he said vaccine mandates for everybody. and that this is meant to be a massive distraction.
What?
Yeah, yeah. The conspiracy, Shane.
It is just, I'm over it, dude. I'm over these people. I'm over every time opening up my phone, seeing somebody have some sort of great, vast, you know, special piece of information that, you know, us professionals, we can't find because we're totally incapable of doing parenthetic research.
I know.
It's not like we had to have a college degree to get these jobs.
I know. So, but that's the general conspiracy on top of the conspiracy. And if you go even deeper into these weird conspiracy circles, they actually say that Gabby Petito was kidnapped by the government in order to facilitate this story. This is ridiculous, by the way, because 40 people go missing every single day. This is so it's an absurd conspiracy to try to throw out there. But in the dark corners of the internet, this is what people chat about. I get, and part of me, Shane, thinks that it's fantasy. Part of me thinks that they're just engaging with this fun story that they like to tell themselves about the United States or about the state that they live in, whatever it is, in order to make sense of all the chaos that's actually happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, there is a man coming out who's joining the case in the search for Brian Laundrie, boyfriend of Gabby Petito, an American hero. Shane Peterson, are you familiar with the show America's Most Wanted?
This is America's Most Wanted. I'm John Walsh. Tonight, we'll ask for your help with one
yes.
of the Justice Department.
As a matter of fact, that guy right
cases.
There.
This guy right here.
John Walsh, American hero, reward. Is going to be stepping into the fray, and he said, I'm going to help find this dirtbag. I think is the exact... I'm saddling up to help catch this dirtbag. If you don't remember, he was the host of America's Most Wanted. When I was a kid, I felt like that show was 2 or 3 hours long. It was so engaging with the reenactments and the visuals and John Walsh narrating the entire thing. It was I couldn't get away from it. It was must-see TV in the early 90s.
Yeah, I mean, some of the clips are absolutely classic, and the show still, I mean, has a reputation to it that, I mean, has pretty much succeeded itself.
So you might be saying to yourself, well, why do I care if John Walsh joins the case? The guy has caught or contributed to the capture of 1,400 people.
Yeah, wow, really?
I mean, yeah, over the course of his career, 1,400 people. John Walsh. The man is a saint of a man. It's an amazing thing. Now, what is he going to do with... I guess he's going to use his clout, whatever he has.
Yeah, his resources.
His resources, his contacts with the underbelly to try to find Brian Laundrie. I mean, bring more attention, get more people down there to Florida. But I don't even think the guy's down in Florida. Shane, I think he's somewhere. I think this is
yeah,
a huge distraction.
I think that, you know, maybe his family and friends might be sending in the authorities on a goose chase because they're saying that he's out in like the swampy marshlands behind like his home in Florida. People
right.
have been saying that he's out there and they're all saying, oh, well, it's very hard to, you know, get people out there and be able to have boats to go search it because it's such, you know, a swampy, murky area. But, you know, I'm just hopeful that, you know, an alligator or something will get him before the authorities do.
Really? You think that would be a different kind? And I'd mean this legitimately, not mm-hmm. I'm not trying to cute, but do you think that would be a better form of justice if he did, in fact, kill Gabby Petito for him to transpire at the hands of an alligator than in the hands of justice?
I think it would be a beautiful, well-orchestrated example of karma that only, you know, some higher power could create. If
Truly.
The animal world were able to find this guy and eat him or attack him and wound him to the point where he has to call 911 to either save his life. Or, you know, he might just go missing forever. And, I mean, I hope that he doesn't go missing forever, you know, kind of like the guys that escaped from Alcatraz where people still don't know if they're alive or not.
Right.
But, I mean, I hope that there really is some justice. And I really hope that they get some good old Bayou boys out there to go searching for him, you know? Some guys what's the show on Discovery? The alligator hunters or
yeah.
whatever?
Yeah.
Get some of those old boys out there. I bet you they could find him.
You can barely understand a word that they're saying.
I'll tell you what,
go down there. I'm finding that gator down there, boy. That kind of Creole.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely want some. No teeth, no front teeth, but like all the back teeth. Like
yeah, well, they replace their teeth with a bunch of beech nut. That's what they throw in there. That's what they use for prosthetic teeth.
So the clip that I wanted to watch this morning, this is from Good Morning America. This is where I got all that weird conspiracy stuff down in the comments. This is where Good Morning America was almost calling themselves out for being bad at their job. It's a really amazing contradiction of what you would think that they would want to do. Basically, guy goes up there and he says, hey, most of the time we only talk about white women, which is something that a lot of people have been talking about, missing white women.
Mm-hmm.
Here is that clip. Here's what that sounded like this morning.
Good morning to you, Stray. And there's some names that become household names. Lacey Peterson, Natalie Holloway, Elizabeth Smart, Gabby Petito. There are other names, though, like Kiara Cole, names like Jelani Day, names like Daniel Robinson. Why don't you know those names? Well, those are people of color who've gone missing that didn't get the same media attention. Well, a lot of people online now are taking advantage of this moment to not just highlight these other cases, but also highlight the disparity in the media's coverage of them.
Her story has dominated news headlines and mobilized a legion of social media users. Hashtag Find Gabby Petito gaining over 700 million views on TikTok. But here's the despairing truth. Gabby Petito is one of so many reported missing each year. At the end of 2020, the FBI had over 89,000 active missing persons cases. 45% of those cases, people of color. Petito's story has renewed debate about which cases get attention and the media's seeming infatuation with missing white women.
This is like this is like the pot calling the kettle black, right? I mean, this is kind of weird that they're like, the media, look at how awful the media it is. And I'm thinking, you guys are good morning.
Yeah, you guys, aren't you guys part of it?
Aren't you guys that thing that, like, you guys report the news? Like, we report the news. Aren't you guys part of that whole thing that you're trying to say is doing a... But they didn't say we're doing a bad job. They say the media at large does a bad job. Very interesting way to try to obfuscate, try to make it seem, hey, it's the media's fault. It's not Good Morning America's fault, man. We're having a good time.
Yeah, we got it all down here, man.
We
got it all figured out. All these other guys, they need to really get it together. But we're the ones that wanted to tell you first.
Yeah, we've got Beach Balls and Katy Perry, and we're not part of those. What's part of those other guys?
We got dancing. We've got all the fun stuff. We've got the fun side of media.
We're just having a good time over here. We've got Miley Cyrus and her dad coming in, talking about one time when they found a weird lump on Billy Ray Cyrus's shoulder that ended up being benign, but the whole family thought that he might have had cancer, so for like 2 or 3 days they were really sad. We do those kinds of stories. We're not really the media. I mean, come on. What, you want us to actually report on stories when people go missing all the time?
What are they going to do to the ratings there? Yeah. We're having fun.
I mean, most people want to watch, you know, Robin Quivers play with the beach volleyball and, you know, ride the bike with the kids and talk about 6 barbecue tips that you can't miss out on coming up at 7:30 a.m. That's what most people want from their media. What are these people talking? I saw this and I froze. I got a 404 error. Just complete blue screen. Just, what is going on? Does not compute. You are the media, and yet you're trying to say that it's the media's fault for not being diverse enough in its coverage of other...
I mean, it's almost just like turning yourself in for, like, jaywalking at this point.
It's like finding a cop. It's like, hey, buddy, listen, a couple blocks back, I looked both ways and there weren't any cars coming, so I just decided, hey, I'm going to go for it, and now I just feel really guilty about it. All right, we have to take a really quick break. When we get back, what do we call your segment, Shane? We call it
Shane on You.
Shane on You and Shane on Me for not remembering the name of your segment, in which I have no idea what story you're going to bring to me. It's a surprise to me and to the audience. You're listening to Cairo Nights. We'll be right back after this. Come back to Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Shane on You is the name of this segment because Shane Peterson got hit with a DMCA for using the previous segment. We can't even mention it without a lawsuit coming at us, Shane.
You know, it is one of the adult entertainment persuasion.
Yeah.
And they have a lot more money than I do. So.
Yeah, a whole lot more. You know, because you work for free. I don't know if
pretty
people
much.
Know.
Pretty much.
You work for free. You work for sandwiches is what we give you, Shane.
Sandwiches and sometimes, you know, maybe a spicy water on the side.
Maybe a little bit of a spicy water. I saw there are 2 TVs in here, Shane, before we get to your segment. There are 2 TVs in here that I have to watch at all times because they're both on. And Jacob showed me how to turn them off. And because I don't pay attention to people, I immediately was like, I got it. And now I'm looking at Fox News and then CNN. And the thing that I noticed that's similar about both of them, ads for medications. nonstop.
I mean, that's a lot of American TV. That was one of the things they asked. There was a survey done. They asked a lot of Brits what they thought the weirdest part about America was. And even my British family, they say all the time, the advertisements for pharmaceuticals and drugs is kind of creepy.
It is odd because I'm seeing advertisements for medical conditions that I thought were normal, which is like, oh, do you have a piece of skin that's slightly darker than the piece of skin next to it on your arm? Guess what? You can take this medication. Hey, are you feeling like your diabetes medication isn't working so well? Guess what? You can take this random pill and it boosts your insulin response. It's nonstop. I mean, it's like lawnmowers and then pills. Pills, pills, pills. But that's besides the point, Shane Peterson. What have you got for us tonight?
Well, it's actually really funny that you actually bring up, you know, advertisements.
Yeah.
And the effects that you sometimes you see and feel. Because there was a black truck driving around in Charlotte, North Carolina this weekend during the pregame for the Carolina Panthers versus the New Orleans Saints. And this black truck was having an advertisement being played from a company called the Wilmore Funeral Home, and it was a straight black truck, and the advertisement said, "Don't get vaccinated. We will see you soon." The Wilmore Funeral House. Now, the thing is that this isn't an actual funeral home, Jack, and this is not an actual serious ad, because they actually were able to interview this guy by the name of David Oakley, who owns Boone Oakley Ad Agency in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he talked to CNN a little bit today, and this is a little bit of a snippet from the news coverage they had from this.
And thus the funeral home concept was born. And no, Wilmore Funeral Home is not real.
So the idea came about when we thought about who would really benefit from people not getting the shot. And you kind of go back to the simple fact that people are dying that aren't vaccinated. So who benefits from people dying? A funeral home.
But watch what happens if you go to WilmoreFuneralHome.com. This message reads, "Get vaccinated now. If not, see you soon." If you click it, it takes you to the website for StarMed Healthcare, a healthcare provider that has vaccinated thousands of people in Charlotte.
I was a little bit worried before we started, but when I really think about it, if this advertisement gets one person vaccinated, it was worth it.
Now, Jack, here on the radio, most of the stuff that we talk about on a daily basis is COVID this, vaccines that.
Yeah.
Get out there and do your part.
Yes.
But I think that, you know, when there's times where you have to really try to convince people or try to get creative, when people go out and do stuff like this, I think it's absolutely wonderful. I think it's a great idea. I think the ambience of it, kind of the satire of it, I think is awesome. Yeah, I think the message, of course, is great. It's the same message that we've had here on Cairo Nights the whole entire time.
Correct.
And, you know, it's pretty funny when you can actually put something together. And apparently, this ad agency has been getting calls up the wazoo in support for what they've been doing and helping out the community in Charlotte.
Do you see how meta this is, though? Because this is an ad for an ad agency. The guy is a genius.
That's the thing. It is really smart. And he's doing it in a way where not only is he getting his name out there, but he's also, you know, he's promoting something that is a message that I think a big, vast majority of people agree with. And not only sharing his message, but also sharing his services and his company. Because, I mean, the dude's kind of a genius.
This is marketing genius, because now we have to talk about the name of his company. And he knew that this was going to get traction. I mean, this is like next level. Did I ever tell you the story of Edward Bernays?
No, please
do. He wrote the book on propaganda, and his whole thing is that it's much more important to instill a feeling in people than it is to instill a product into people. It's his entire idea. So one of the things that he did back in the day, he was contacted by the cigarette companies. And they said, listen, we want to expand our market, because cigarettes were not popular in the United States in the 1920s. They just weren't. And they said, we want to expand the market. So he comes up with this crazy idea to link cigarette smoking with women's suffrage. And so he got together this fake coalition called, you know, Women for Voting or something like that. And he paid a ton of money for them to have a parade. And he put all these women up there so that they could be on the floats, and he made all of them smoking cigarettes. So then the idea of smoking cigarettes became synonymous with women's liberation. The feeling. The guy was a total genius.
That's probably what started the big trend of all the ladies smoking in the 50s.
Exactly.
And what kind of got that whole thing turning, where they're like, hey, yeah, you know, you can't really smoke when you got a child in the womb. But, I mean, overall, I think the story is pretty funny. And at the end of the day, you know, when you're trying to get something done, getting creative is it's the best way to go sometimes.
Speaking of women's suffrage, on the line, Stacey Jo Ross is going to be coming on in a couple of few. And we're going to be reading an email that we got from Orion, who has a question about technology and how it's changing people. Dedicated fan Orion. As well as a recommendation for technology detox, but a very particular kind of detox. Stick around, we'll be right back after this.